who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We are talking about, we're talking about verses 17 through 19. I read verse 20, but 17 through 19 are the context of these. Talking about those certain men. Now, to mock, I looked up those things. It's easy. He told them they were to remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were the beloved of the kingdom prophesied program for Israel. And they were to remember the words spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were under the ministry of the 12 apostles who would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So that was their accord doctrinally. And they are to be grounded in that which pertains to the kingdom prophesied for Israel in Jude. Now, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. The mockers in the last time. Mocking is to imitate, to mimic, hence to imitate in contempt or derision, to mimic for the sake of derision, to deride, to laugh at, to ridicule, to treat with scorn or contempt, to defeat, to elude, to disappoint, to deceive, as to mock expectation, to fool someone, or to tantalize, or to play on in contempt. These words concerning to mock, to make sport of in contempt, or in jest, or to speak jestingly. And there are some scriptural references here, but we won't go into that right now because we'll be talking about another aspect. Mocking is to ridicule, deride, to sneer at, to act in manifest contempt of. To mock a false, counterfeit, assumed, imitate reality but not real in a mocking to make fun of type of way. That there will be mockers in the last time. So mocking things of the Lord is this case of Jude, what he had prophetically put forth. Mocking those things showed who in that group was not in the Lord's will. Now Jude verses 3 and 4 give us a context of what the letter is about. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So the context there is that there were certain men who crept into that little flock of believers. And at the time of the tribulation, these kind of things they'll be confronted with again in the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And so this will be guidance, as it was for the kingdom saints in Acts. It'll be guidance for those saints of the remnant in tribulation. Though there are those mockers in the last time. Now Jude speaks of, now we're going to talk about the last time aspect of these scriptures. You know, when you see last time of the Bible, we talked about it in the beloved, in the instance of the beloved and which apostles they were under, and we saw how the doctrine associated everything about those contexts to be the kingdom. Well, you know, people randomly look at this point about the last time in the scripture, and they don't rightly divide that term, too. There's a need to rightly divide that, depending on who's speaking of the last days, last times, and such and such. So those are things that you need to, you know, understand by right, or people need to be made to understand by right division, or need to be be shown about right division, that the context, there's a last time context for the body, and there's a last time context. There's a latter days context for the body and a last time context for Israel. So we need to be clear on what's going on in Scripture, and perhaps this particular class can, I hope, show some things in light of that. Now, Jude speaks of the last time, as do other apostles and writers, in those last nine letters, Hebrews through Revelation. He speaks of the last time, as do other apostles and writers, in Hebrews through Revelation. Now, let's look at the apostles. He said, remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically the 12, under whose doctrine the people of Jude wrote to, the people Jude wrote to were under the doctrine of the 12. And let's look at Peter, who was the leader of the 12, and what he says here. First go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 5. First Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 5. Before you get to verse 5, let's go from verses 3 through 5. And Peter says here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the context of these things, you can see in those scriptures, Peter says, hath begotten us again. Well, Israel as a nation, they were under God. They were as a nation born under God's will. God calls them the firstborn back in Deuteronomy. He calls Israel his firstborn. And as you know, they went astray as a nation away from the will of God. And so there is a need for Israel to be born again. So Peter and his group were that which believed on the kingdom prophesied will of Christ, and as such, they represented at that time that nation which was to be born again in the future for the kingdom purpose of God. So we see here, that's the context. Whenever you see the born again or hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, that has to do with the prophetic context there. And that inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for them, that is to be the point of where all those things that are reserved in heaven for them, that they're to be expressed in the kingdom that will be on earth and prophesied to Israel. And we can know that by the context of all the Jewish scriptures of prophecy. And they're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. The last time here has to do with the Lord's return to earth to save the nation Israel out of tribulation. They will be a nation that will need to be saved out of tribulation. Go to Jeremiah 30, verse 5. And there's a point about that in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 5. And it's just one scripture here. We're going to look at this in depth a little later. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Verse 7 is what the one scripture he talks about. He says, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So they're going to go into Jacob's trouble, and they're going to be saved out of it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but it's the tribulation. They're going to go into that time of wrath on this earth and that tribulation, and they're going to be saved out of it. So they have to go in it to be saved out of it. So that point about the ready to be revealed in the last time, Peter wrote in a context about receiving salvation at the end of their faith. That's another context showed in those verses there in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so we see that that's not doctrine to us. We know from appalling scriptures, we now have the atonement, Romans 5:11. We are of the mystery. But they're of a whole different administration of God where, you know, Israel has not received the prophetic purpose of God for them yet. And so their salvation is still, their salvation as a nation is still future. And it's after the tribulation. So that's the context that Peter is speaking in. He's not talking in a body context. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It kind of echoes a point about verse 5. Faith unto verse 5 says, faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says in verse 9, that's a whole different administration than what's going on now. Right now, we have the atonement. Right now, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Those two scriptures you'll find in Romans 5:11 and Ephesians 1 verse 3, and there are so many more that Paul tells us about. But this is a different administration. So the last time that they're talking about, that's the context of when the Lord returns to earth to save the nation Israel out of the tribulation, and they get the kingdom. Those are the points about the last time in these scriptures. And go to 1 Peter 1 verse 20. But let's go verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, Peter, again, we have to understand who he's talking to. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They were Jews who were in these lands. They were strangers, being that they were Jews in these other lands, not Israel. They were strangers. So that's the context of Israel, who he's written to. So in relation to this, these things about Christ manifest in these last times for you, it has to do with the doctrine to Israel, their hope unto the kingdom prophesied. So when you see this here, there are other things to consider. Also, Peter speaks of Christ, who himself declared he was before the foundation of the world. Go to John 17. Go to John 17 and the prayer of Christ before his plea, Christ declaring himself, he himself was before the foundation of the world. That's the whole subject of things related to what he's talking about in Peter. Manifesting these last times for you, it's under the context of knowledge of what Christ himself said. Here is John chapter 17 verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's the context in which the things that Peter mentions about Christ and manifest in those last times for you. The you there has to do with the people who are Jews under the kingdom purpose, and they are strangers and scattered out in these lands here, strangers in those lands, Jews of Israel scattered, strangers in these other lands. So that's the context of to whom Peter wrote. And it will be a context of the tribulation, and these letters will be hope to the future saints of Israel when God deals with them in the tribulation. See, the Bible concerns, has a portion that is past, time past, but now, and ages to come. We have to honor that fact and understand there's things in the Bible that concern ages to come, not our age. So it's important that we understand where those points are scripturally. So when you look at these scriptures and see this, verily he was foreordained before the foundation of the world but was manifest in these last times for you, it has to do with those things toward the kingdom saints of Israel. The portion manifest in these last times signifies the prophetic confirmation context of the Lord's ministry toward the little flock and future Jewish remnant and of the future times of Jacob's trouble. I put there little flock / Jewish remnant and of the future times of Jacob's trouble. Now let me say this sentence again because it's kind of a long sentence I wrote here. The portion manifest in these last times signifies the prophetic confirmation context of the Lord's ministry on earth toward the little flock and of the future times of Jacob's trouble. Like it was back in Acts when he was dealing with the little flock, when the tribulation comes, this doctrine will be paramount for the earth and those saints of Israel in tribulation. That's who it'll be about. And so we see a context of the last times there and how it goes there. And now, continuing in this context about Israel and the last times, latter times context to Israel, let's go to another apostle, John. Remember, Jude said, remember the words spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Well, we're looking at the context of the last time to which Jude is referring. And so far, we've seen, and I hope that you have seen that it is Israel by the scriptures. And let's go to 1 John, another apostle of that Jewish George. Let's go to 1 John. The scriptures will show you right division. Okay, now, 1 John 2:18. Of course, you have to be desiring to conform to what the scriptures show and honor when God is speaking to Israel, that he's speaking to Israel, and honor when he's speaking to the body under Paul's scriptures. That's you. And if you honor that, you'll learn the glory of God's word. Let's go again to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The last time John is speaking of there. Now, John mentions a context of tribulation teaching of the Lord. Things related to what the Lord confirmed unto them, confirmed unto the apostles. He taught the apostles, and he mentions a context of the tribulation teaching of the Lord, which was to the little flock in relation to what Christ told John and the other apostles back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's look at a little bit of that context. Let's go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Okay, Mark chapter 13. I hope you have your Bible there. Mark chapter 13. Let's go to verses 19 through 22. We could read this whole context, but that's a whole nother study in itself. This is Christ teaching them tribulation doctrine. The next event on Israel's calendar was going to be that great tribulation after, that was going to be the next event. on the prophetic calendar. And we'll look into why it didn't happen later. But here, let's go from verses 19 through 22. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created, unto this time, neither shall be. Now that's the great tribulation there. That's the time of the Lord's wrath, the day of wrath. Verse 20, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. So John is continuing on in that context of what he was taught from Christ, knowing the imminent great tribulation prophesied was to come. And as this doctrine concerns tribulation doctrine, and it was the feeding for those kingdom saints back in Acts, it will be a great import. It will be the main doctrine of God when the tribulation is on this earth, and it will be toward those Israel saints. So he's speaking in respect to that context. And now Jude, so when we get to Jude, Jude speaks in respect of that tribulation doctrine to the saints of Israel also. Israel is to be, so Jude, like in verse 18, we saw how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So that last time context of Jude, he continues, he speaks in respect of the apostles' doctrine. Remember ye the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ? It involves that which stems from the 12 apostles to Israel that was taught them, the little flock. And it'll be the teaching to the Jewish remnant in the future tribulation. So Israel is to be subject to the wrath prophetically. The last days, last time context in Hebrews through Revelation, like we've been reading from Peter, John, and Jude, those are from the Hebrews through Revelation tribulation context doctrine. It's for the future. All that last days, last time context in those things we've read from Hebrews through Revelation is the tribulation that is a prophecy and which they looked for. It was imminent toward them. Back there in Acts, it didn't happen, but it was the doctrine that God had written for that time because it was the next thing on the prophetic calendar for Israel. But in the future, when it does happen, it will be the doctrine for those saints in Israel. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can anyone hear me? If you can hear me, say yes. Okay. Just put a little yes there. I see Pastor Cody says he can hear. Anyone else? Can anyone else hear me? Pastor Cody can hear me. Thank you, Brown. I just needed to know if it was more than one server that could hear me. Thank you, Rochelle Coffey. So we see it's not doctrine for today in the context of Jude. Now, they looked for that imminent tribulation those things of the doctrine, Hebrews through Revelation, is all full of the things that will be the sustaining of those saints of Israel in that future tribulation. Because God will be concentrating on them then. It'll be to the prophetic plan. Right now, God is dealing with the mystery revealed doctrine he gave Paul. After we're caught up, the prophecy clock starts again, and he deals with Israel under that plan that he held back during Acts. He held back that kingdom plan during Acts, and it will be all that doctrine to those kingdom saints will be for the future great tribulation. We are in Romans through Philemon. Now, let's get some idea from the scriptures about the things concerning that great tribulation, the last days, last time context of some of the tribulational things and things that will be involved there. Just a few. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 30. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 30. And we'll read verses 5 through 11. And you'll see that it was prophesied that that time of Jacob's trouble, that great tribulation, is a prophecy. And we'll just look at that point about it from Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 30, and we'll look at verses 5 through 11. Okay. Let's see here. Here we go. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. He goes into that terrible time where it's a day none like it. You know, it's a terrible time. It's going to be a time of great intensity it's going to be a time of great cataclysms and terrible tragedies. It'll be the wrath of God on this earth will be poured out during that time of Jacob's trouble. And it'll be a great day, and so that none is like it. And they go into that wrath and tribulation. They go into it, and they're saved out of it. That's their context. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass that in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will and his bond, and, let me see here, I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So we know that is a future time. Verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So that's that future time, David is resurrected unto that kingdom. Verse 10, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. None of that is going on now. There could be a lot said about all of this, but we know that that is a tribulation context of the future tribulation. And so let's go on to see some things in Zephaniah about that great and terrible tribulation. We're going to read between two chapters, the end of one chapter and the beginning of another in Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Okay, let's go to Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. And so he's between Haggai and Habakkuk. Wow, that's a mouthful there. Okay, let's go on. That's Zephaniah, and we're going to read between chapter 1, verse 15, to 2, verse 3. Okay, starting at chapter 1, verse 15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fence cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. You see the context of the tribulation, and for those to trust on the Lord, that they may be hid in that time of anger, that they may be helped in that time of terror on this earth. So you see there, it's a time of Jacob's trouble and tribulation on this earth. A day of wrath, they're subject to that wrath. You remember Christ saying, the meek shall inherit the earth? He was talking in relation to the tribulation, the kingdom context of that, of who would come out of that tribulation, and that related to the nation. Israel, the Jews of Israel are the meek who shall inherit the earth. And this tells us who the meek shall be, that those meek who inherit the earth are the ones who trust on the Lord in Israel. This is Jewish doctrine of the tribulation, and that will be the time of Jacob's trouble. It'll be the time, it will come upon the whole world, but it will be a time where Jacob, Israel, will be go in that wrath, and those that turn to the Lord in that wrath, in the way that the Lord tells, will be the ones who get into that kingdom. It'll be the subject will be accepting Christ as their Savior, what Israel does not do now. And so this is not doctrine for today. The tribulation is not doctrine for today. But we're seeing a glimpse of the future on this earth and what will be the concern through these Old Testament scriptures. We're seeing what the latter times will be about. Those last days that Jude talks about and Peter and John, the words of the apostles of the 12, what that's all about. We're getting a glimpse of that. Let's go to Zechariah. Israel is subject to wrath, the time of Jacob's trouble, and he will be saved out of it. Let's go to Zechariah, seeing another vivid context of the contemplation concerning Israel and things toward them. Zechariah chapter 14, a vivid picture of the tribulation, you know, the height of that tribulation. Zechariah chapter 14, and we're going to read, 9 verses. Zechariah chapter 14, 9 verses. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. This is doctrine to Israel. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives, which and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee into the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Doctrine to Israel. And as we see, when he says, ye shall flee into the valley of the mountains, he's talking to whom he's talking to in Malachi. This is not a body of Christ, of Gentiles saved by grace. This is doctrine to Israel about the future tribulation, and at the height of that tribulation, and what will happen immediately after it, the Christ will come to the earth and clear out all of those things and purge things. And so we see that glorious, vivid picture of the future on this earth. And so Hebrews, through Revelation, concerns those saints in that terrible time, and those nine letters at the end of the Bible will be doctrine for them to have hope unto that kingdom, to be doctrine for them to walk by faith and work in relation to the ministration for them. It will be no dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles going on then. It's happening now. But in Hebrews through Revelation, that's the future on this earth. And it will be, the concern will be Israel and what they'll have to go through to get their prophesied kingdom. So I hope you see that by Scripture. Let's go to another vivid tribulation context there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And we won't read the whole thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and first read verses 20 through 24. Christ is telling them doctrine for the tribulation, the next event on Israel's prophetic calendar. He's preparing them for that. It didn't happen, but he was preparing them for that. And we'll go into why it didn't happen later. But right now, we're looking at the doctrine of the future for Israel. That's when you see Hebrews through Revelation. It concerns this doctrine. These things that are Matthew writes concern the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, the our being the kingdom saints of Israel, not us. But that's the Jewish doctrine in Jude. And it concerns these things that were taught the apostles. Let's go to Matthew 24, verses 20 through 24. We won't read the whole thing. Matthew 24, verses 20 through 24. But I pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Think about a time like that. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The elect here has to do with the saints of Israel. They will be the focus. And for their sake, those days are going to be shortened. That's going to be a terrible time. And so we see here that context of the tribulation. Verse 23. Then, talking about at that time. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So that's that tribulation doctrine. They, Israel, as a nation, will get the prophesied national salvation after enduring the fiery trial of tribulation. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. Just a few verses. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, angels plural, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, and so we see this is a point about angels gathering his elect. That doesn't happen in the rapture. In the rapture, we are caught up. No angels gather us. There's one angel talked about, and he's the archangel. Not angels, plural, but in the rapture to us, it's the archangel. And what he does, he's with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, we are caught up. Nobody gathers us. This is not the rapture of the church. This is the gathering of the elect of Israel in the midst of terrible tribulation after that terrible tribulation when the Lord returns, is what you're seeing in Matthew. It's not us. So you see that in Matthew, and Peter, like Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, they're not to, when those things happen, they are not to be, you know, it shouldn't surprise them. They should expect it, because prophetically they're appointed to it. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, basically, they should be in expectant of going into that wrath and being saved out of it. They're not a body of Christ. They are of a different accord of God that is prophetic, that most of the Bible concerns. What is to us are those 13 books that concern Gentiles that were given to the Apostle Paul to reveal about a body. Now, again, the last time spoken of in Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a portion, are not the last days spoken of by our Apostle Paul. They are not the last days spoken of by our Apostle Paul. The saints of the kingdom promised to Israel were taught to expect the wrath on earth. Again, we saw that in 1 Peter 4:12. Thinking not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, that it was prophesied to come up to them. They are to expect it prophetically. And it was the next thing, that wrath, that day of the Lord, that wrath was the, that tribulation was the next thing on the prophetic calendar toward the Israel. Why didn't that wrath come so that the kingdom saints could preach unto all the world? See, Christ gave them a commission, and back in the kingdom commission was for them, the Jews, to preach, go unto all nations and preach the gospel to all other nations. That's not that which you see in Mark 16 is not doctrine for you to go out. You're not, you and I are of the nations. And it's to the Jews who are to go unto the nation. And of course, that ain't happening now. But that was the prophetic context of what they were to do. And so we see there why didn't that wrath come? Why didn't it come? Well, they weren't enough to be that prophetic remnant of national Israel. They were believers on Christ. They were unto that kingdom, but they were not enough to be the prophetic remnant of Israel. God knew that would happen, that it would come a point when the nation would reject. The rest of the Jews rejected the ministry, and that is typified by Stephen's stoning in Acts chapter 7. That typifies what the rest of the nation felt about the doctrine of the kingdom. They stoned Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, preaching to them an indictment which they should have conformed to. He was stoned to death by them in rejection of God's preaching by the Holy Ghost. That nation rejected it. God couldn't use them in his purpose at that time. In Acts chapter 9, we see a whole new apostle raised up, and he is given to minister to the Gentiles. Gentiles first, order of business on Paul's commission of the Lord as an apostle. And this is told to Ananias in Acts 9, where Paul is converted. Gentiles first. Gentiles kingdom, the Gentiles kings and the children of Israel. The rejecting, who rejected the word of God. But notice, Gentiles first. The Gentile first context that was given to Paul is not prophetic and never was spoken of before Paul. It is unprecedented. Gentile first perspective. From then on in Acts, we see God declines the ministry of the 12, those saints that the little flock who believed on Christ, those little flock of Jews who were not enough to be the prophetic remnant, that little flock who believed on Christ under the kingdom plan, that little flock of Jews died off to be resurrected unto their kingdom hope, to be resurrected unto that earthly kingdom promised to them. As God declines, as you'll see in Acts, after Acts 9, as God declines the kingdom purpose in Acts, you'll see that, he expels the mystery revealed body of Christ given Paul for Gentiles. Romans 11, verse 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." He says that because it's what God magnified. God magnified an office of the apostle of the Gentiles. Because Israel wasn't enough, God magnified that ministry that was given Paul. So, he excels that that mystery revealed plan is the plan that God is operating today. At the end of Acts, you see that there is no more dealing with Israel. They've rejected everything of God, so now their only hope is the provoking ministry of Paul. At verse 14 of Romans 11:14, their only hope after they rejected God's will for the kingdom is the ministry that God has for the Gentiles. So Paul's ministry back then in Acts was a provoking ministry. He says, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Save some of them as the apostle of the Gentiles. The only hope for Israel now is to come under God's will for the Gentiles. And that is what God is doing now. And Acts 28 puts the cap on God holding back that whole kingdom purpose. Acts 28:28. The salvation of God is sent to Gentiles, and they shall hear it. Who sends it there? Of course, God sends it there. The Holy Spirit, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Since Israel rejected, God sends this, the salvation to the Gentiles through the message given by the apostle of the Gentiles. Therefore, the only hope for a Jew today is to conform to God's will for the Gentiles. What is God's will today? Is that established. Do you be established in what he's doing today? The first line in you being established is not the gospel Peter preached of the kingdom toward Israel. The prophetic context of the gospel Peter preached is that Christ died. Peter preached, this is a Jewish context of the gospel of God for Peter's group, that Christ died as the Lamb of God, and that he's for that nation, and that he was raised to sit on David's throne. All prophetic. But you know what the context of the gospel is to us? It's the gospel of Christ given Paul. That's why God makes sure that in the scriptures to us, we know that Paul wrote my gospel. He didn't do that by his own unction. It is the will of God that you are under the Romans 16:25. Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." It is the gospel given Paul that Christ, when he died on the cross, He died for our sins, was buried and risen again. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. First order of business, you get saved by the gospel given Paul, that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again. It's not a gospel of you doing anything. It's a gospel of the grace of God, that Christ did everything. He took care of the sin plan. I mean, he took care of the sin debt for you. When he went in your place, went in my place on the cross at Calvary and bled, his blood being the redeeming factor that reconciles us to God. We're reconciled to God. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, to the my gospel given Paul, the gospel of the mystery plan, the mystery purpose, never before known, a body where Gentiles and Jews are no different. There's no difference. No favored nation. A body. A body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are you all baptized into one body. Whether you be Jew or Gentile. Whether you be bond or free. And have been all made to drink into one spirit. It's a body now. A body where there's no difference. No favored nation. No covenant. It's grace. Not a covenant. A grace. Grace of God, a dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 3, we see in verse 1, Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for Gentiles in verse 2, and he was given a dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles. And we see in verse 3 that he didn't get it by somebody telling it, you know, somebody teaching it to him. Nobody taught it to him. He got it direct from the source, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was revealed. How else can you get a mystery? It has to be revealed to you. And that's exactly what happened. And you know what Paul did? He did what God wanted him to. He wrote it down. Therefore, we see the purpose of Paul in that writing down of that mystery. Colossians chapter 1. That's what God is doing. A dispensation of his grace that concerns a body where there's no difference. Colossians chapter 1. We see in verse 25 that it was for Paul to fulfill the word of God. What fulfills the word of God? It's the mystery that was never before revealed. Something that God brought out. He knew Israel would fail. He knew Israel would not accept his plan. And he brought out this glorious mystery that would, about, since Israel didn't want to be the nation that goes out unto all the nations, God had a plan where the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery which was kept secret. And he kept it, and when it was time to let it be made known, he gave it to Paul, and Paul let it be made known in the Holy Scriptures. He wrote it down to fulfill God's word. That was the purpose God gave Paul. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Colossian Gentiles. It was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in Gentiles, the hope of glory. Man, what a glorious plan, a mystery. The riches of the glory of this mystery, which is revealed. Now Christ in Gentiles. Not in a favorite nation, not in a favorite nation under covenant, but in Gentiles who believe that gospel, that he died for our sins, was buried and risen again. So, we're into a whole different context now that has nothing to do with the kingdom purpose toward Israel. We're into a whole different context now that has nothing to do with the prophecy that most of the Bible talks about. We're into a context now, something that was never before talked about. A mystery. And so, you gotta understand, you have to rightly divide. You have to know who God is talking to. Now, he's dealing with the Pauline doctrine. A whole different context, a dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul speaks of a last days context. Well, what is this about? Didn't you say that this was a mystery? Let's see Paul talking about a last days context and see what he talks about here. The latter days, the last days, latter times, context of Paul's writing are of the mystery body of Christ, revealed only in the Pauline scriptures. When you see Paul talking about the last days and the latter times, it has to do about they are of the mystery revealed context. There is a context for the latter days and latter times that does not involve prophecy, but it's to us. Now, I hope I didn't. I could be confusing there, but I don't mean to. When Paul speaks of these latter days and latter times, it has nothing to do with what's to Israel. He's talking about the latter times of God's new context, a body, saved by grace through faith. And so, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. You know, and before I finish this class, let's go on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry, Exodus out. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry, brother. I gave you the wrong reference. 4 verses 1, 2, and 3. And thank the Lord for your posting scripture so the saints can see the Word of God there. 1, 2, and 3. This is a true thing. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know not the truth. Now the Spirit expressly speaketh expressly that in the latter times. Now Paul's latter times context has to do with the latter times of this dispensation of grace we're presently in. It'll be just like this. People will, you know, as we see that, let's go on here. First, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, from shall men be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so we see these things are of the last days, the latter times. Paul speaks of the end of this dispensation of grace, where the body becomes, there'll be people falling away from the faith. There'll be an ineffective agency of God on this earth. The body will not be effective because people will fall away from the faith. And these things will affect people, the latter days, the last times of this dispensation, before we're caught up. Now let's look at a point where Paul warns of this very thing happening in the latter days, last times. He gives quite a warning of that in Romans chapter 11. Now, let's read verses 13 through 27. We'll be ending up in a little while. We will end up before 7:30, before it's time to go to the other room there. But let's go to Romans chapter 11, we'll read verses 13 through 27, continuing that context of Paul's ministry towards the Gentiles. 13 through 27. Romans chapter 11, verses 13 through 27. Paul says, verse 13, "For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. And Paul is about to introduce why, you know, he's showing here why the only way that Israel can be saved now is through the plan given to the Gentiles, which Paul has written of. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So we have this olive tree symbol, a symbol of God's blessedness on this earth. God's blessedness. It's that some of the branches were broken off of Israel. The only thing remained for those who were in God's will was that little flock. The nation went unbelieving. The branches were broken off. And what did God do through Paul's ministry? Into God's glorious blessedness, he grafted a body. Gentiles. A whole new purpose and plan for the Gentiles. And now Paul is saying, don't boast about these things. Don't boast against those natural branches. God has a purpose for Israel. You know what people are doing today? People are trying to say that they are Israel. People who are Gentiles right here in America, and God is not even dealing with a plan for Israel. They're saying, hey, we're Israel. I'm Israel. When I look at Judah, I'm of the tribe of Judah. I'm of the tribe of Dan. It's folks who want to be the tribe of Dan. I don't know why. I didn't know why, but now I know why, because of the scriptures and studying. But there's nobody ought to be. It's people who want to be Israel because they see all those prophetic scriptures, and God is not dealing with that purpose. But then they are boasting against God's plan for Israel. That's not what's going on. Thou wilt, verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. So what is the concern here is the olive tree, God's blessedness, God's blessedness in Christ, that olive tree standing firm. And what you have here is a warning about agency being cut off. Israel was cut off because they became an ineffective agency. They didn't want to be the ones who go out into all the world and preach the gospel as God declared. So God brought out the hidden plan about them. God put that whole plan aside about them. He brought out that hidden will. He put them aside and started saving Gentiles by grace through faith, through the new plan. And now Israel has to come to God through a plan he has for the Gentiles. Glorious will of God. And so this is a warning about to the Gentile agency in God, the present body of Christ, to not go into apostasy and boast themselves against the plan that he has for Israel, to take on things that are not to them. This is a warning to the body of Christ. For if God, verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. The context here is agency on this earth. Verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. The context here is agency on this earth. The body of Christ, there will be a point where the Lord returns and takes the body up into the air. And it'll be at the last of the last days. At the end of the last days, we'll be caught up. But you see what will be happening in the last days from what Paul tells us. The last days of the body of Christ. It is not the tribulation. It's the last days before we're caught up. And what happens after we're caught up, cut off and caught up, caught up and cut off, God brings up his plan in tribulation, and in that for the Israel in tribulation. They go through that tribulation, and those who believe on Christ will be grafted into God's plan then. But now it's a body that's God's agency. Grafted on body. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is also able to graft them in again. So that's about, and now we're going to get into the context of what happened to them. They are broken off now, and when he'll graft them in again. So that's the context of which is in these next three verses. Verse 25, a mystery revealed. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Right now, God is dealing with a body, which is the fullness of the Gentiles. And when that is come in, they're going to be blind until the fullness of the Gentiles, this body of Christ, be come in. And the fullness of it is come in when we're caught up in the air. Verse 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So we have a context here in verse 26 and 27, when Israel will be saved. Remember back then, they'll go into the time of Jacob's trouble and then come out of it and be saved out of it. They'll go into the time of Jacob's trouble and be saved out of it. They'll be the meek that inherit this earth from Zephaniah and all those things about immediately after the tribulation of those days. That when you get to verse 25 and 26, that future after that tribulation is after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God right now is dealing with the body of Christ, which is the fullness of the Gentiles in a dispensation of His grace. We're in a context of God's will. We're in the last days for us is to be caught up unto the Lord at the end of this dispensation. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 shows the point of when the body of Christ is caught up. They're caught up in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We're a body to be caught up to a heavenly inheritance, a mystery now revealed through Paul's scripture about a heavenly inheritance off of this earth. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we are delivered from the wrath to come. That's what that catching up is about. We are delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. We are in a dispensation of which the last days will represent what we see going on now as people continue to ignore the rightly divided truth. And by such ignorance, growing more and more fervent toward human reasoning and religious apostasy, we're not as the many which corrupt the word of God, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 17. I want to make sure I say this correctly, and I have to read it to do that for its worth. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. How do you be one who is not as the many which corrupt the word of God? You recognize the Bible as your source of information. That, like 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. You recognize this fact. You get saved by my gospel, of course. That's the first order of business. And how do you be as the ones who don't corrupt the word of God? You recognize this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And you study the scripture the way, since we have this mystery in scripture that is revealed, and the prophecy plan was interrupted and held back, God tells us through the mystery revealed apostle, how to study now, since we have this mystery that is revealed. He tells us how to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not only reading the instruction manual, brother, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. We have a mystery in the scripture in 13 epistles that has to do with a whole different purpose in God. And we should rightly divide that from what is to Israel. Give to Israel what belongs to Israel. Give to the body what belongs to the body. And so, even though it is the last of the last days of the dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles, salvation is to anyone who will believe the gospel given our Apostle Paul for the salvation of mankind who will believe. It concerns the complete work of God toward you. The complete work of His blood toward us. It's given to Paul to tell us that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This is the gospel which Paul calls my gospel. And in verse 1 it says, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Verse 2, by which ye are saved. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's a gospel of the grace of God for the dispensation of the grace of God. You can't be saved by the context of Peter's gospel and the 12's gospel. You can't be saved by the tribulation gospel. You can't be saved by the things of the law and the gospel concerning Abraham. You can be saved by what Paul was given in the dispensation of the grace of God about the complete work of the cross, how that his blood redeems us and how it redeemed us. And how just by believing, it's grace, just by believing that Jesus died for your sins and is risen, you'll have all that God has to give. He'll know it. You believe it, he'll know it, and he'll put you in a body, and you'll be unto that day of redemption. He'll never let you go because it's grace. We're not in a tribulation dispensation. We're in a dispensation of grace. Christ did it all. And thank the Lord for his shed blood. Any questions on anything? We only have a few minutes here, very little minutes before the Shorewood Room opens up, brothers and sisters, and I suggest you go there. It'll be a great time of teaching. And